It's not very often you get to see a full solar eclipse. In fact, for many folks, it's a once-in-a-lifetime event. This Monday, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time in Salem, Oregon, a total eclipse of the sun will snake across North America, ending at 2:47 p.m. Eastern time in Charleston, South Carolina.
We'll be watching the total eclipse in Carbondale, Illinois at 1:21 p.m., and we're excited for all the spooky things you can expect from a full solar eclipse. Pets, birds, and spiders will go nuts. The temperatures may drop 20 degrees, the planet Mercury will be visible, and shadows will look like snakes.
Today, we're taking a look at what to expect from the Great North American Solar Eclipse of 2017, and eclipses in popular culture. Listen as we dive in deep into Bonnie Tyler's over-the-top Spookies 80s hit, Total Eclipse of the Heart, and Australian film director Russell Mulcahy, who turned MTV in the 80s into a surrealist nightmare.
Plus, J.J. Abrams' production company Bad Robot is currently developing Queen, a TV series based on RuPaul's life.
I'm Fausto Fernos.
I'm Mark Fillion.
And this is Feast of Fun.
Right now, you are listening to Feast of Fun because for the past 13 years, a listener just like you took the time to support this one-of-a-kind, in-depth programming. Won't you take a moment now to ensure that Feast of Fun is around for the future? Visit feastoffun.com/plus and access all 13 years of amazing shows.
Mark, have you ever observed a total eclipse of the sun?
I have never in my entire life, no. I think that when I was a kid, there was a partial eclipse when I was in school, but it was cloudy out. And I think maybe later on, I might have seen like a very partial one, but not much of one at all.
When I was 18 years old, I was in a LGBT youth support group called Out Youth Austin, and we were breaking for the day. And going into the parking lot, and everybody started freaking out. And I was like, and it kind of looked like it was cloudy, but it was not quite exactly cloudy because a partial solar eclipse was occurring. And everybody, you know, you had heard people talking about it, and of course, you're a young college student, and you're a young gay man, and you're just kind of like, the world hates me. Why do I care about a solar eclipse, you know? But there we were in the parking lot, and everyone's like, don't look at the sun! Whatever you do, don't look at the sun! No. Like Indiana Jones and the Ark.
Yeah, don't look at it, you'll melt. Yes. Like Marge Simpson's eyes fried when she watched it in the Simpsons episode.
It's too bad that Trump doesn't stare at the solar eclipse and melt himself. But so everybody was freaking out, and we were like, how do we look at the solar eclipse without looking at it? And so we started looking at the reflections of the solar eclipse on the cars. Mm. And all of a sudden, all the birds started getting real quiet. Some started chirping, and then dogs were barking, and it was like an earthquake, but not quite that. So this Monday, starting in North America in Oregon and snaking across all the way to Carbondale in Illinois, there's going to be a full solar eclipse
and beyond.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, like if you're in Chicago, you get to see 80% of it. But we want the full 8 inches. You know what I'm saying? So we're driving down,
you know,
for it's
a once in a lifetime kind of thing. And I've always been a fan of astronomy and, of course, science fiction. So I like the idea of seeing a full solar eclipse is exhilarating. So why not drive 4 or 5 hours south of Chicago to go see it? So we're going to leave on Sunday, go down to Champaign, Urbana, and spend the night there so that we'll be a little bit closer. And then we have to get up early on Monday because I think traffic is going to be, everybody's going to be heading towards Carbondale. It's kind of going to be like when everybody started heading towards like that Mount Devil's Peak and Close Encounters of the Third Kind.
Yeah, it's totally like
that. Everybody's going to be going there.
Poopy, poop, poop, poop. All week long, Mark's been shaping mashed potatoes into a big black hole. You remember the Disney movie, The Black Hole, right?
It was a terrible movie. It almost bankrupted the company, didn't it?
It almost did, but I liked it as a kid.
Of course you did. You also, what did you just watch yesterday? And you're like, this movie's not so bad.
Wild West.
I'm just like, your taste in movies.
It's not so bad. The movie Wild West gave rise to steampunk as a fashion, even though it's a terrible film. But the film Black Hole sort of represents, you know, a black hole, much like a solar eclipse. Mm-hmm. It's this mysterious, not quite understood phenomena that is, you know, going to suck everything in. And so for a lot of throughout human history, mm-hmm. and through different cultures, the solar eclipse has very much been this black hole of mystery that's not well understood. It's very much feared, and it's inspired people from filmmakers to story writers to comic book writers and ancient religions to think that the world is mm-hmm. coming to an end.
Oh yeah, some people, the Vietnamese, thought like a giant frog was going to eat the sun. Other people thought it was like dragons were eating it. But I think, you know, any civilization, you know, started to recognize that this is a common occurrence, and so they were able to track it and could even predict it.
Well, so much in 1949, The Adventures of Tintin, the comic book by the French creator Hergé, that inspired Steven Spielberg and George Lucas to do their, you know, Indiana Jones and mm-hmm. and the Star Wars movies and all that good stuff. There's a comic book called Prisoners of the Sun, where Tintin and the professor get kidnapped by a secret Incan tribe, a lost Incan tribe in Peru. And they're set to be, they allow them to, for some reason, to choose the time they're going to be killed. So the professor's like, well, let's set the time to be when the solar eclipse is happening. And Tintin's like, what's that have to do with anything, professor? Because that's what Tintin's voice sounds like mm-hmm. in my head. And the professor, so they're about to be, you know, killed. They're tied to the post, and the professor's like, I am your god, I am angry, let me go. And mm-hmm. of course the solar eclipse starts happening, mm-hmm. and all the lost Incan tribe response to them, much like C-3PO and the Ewoks, as like, oh, this is our new leader because mm-hmm. he has mysterious powers.
Well, that's first of all, the Incas were great astronomers, and they actually could plan when solar eclipses and lunar eclipses could happen, and they would watch the movement of the stars in little pools that they would make, and so they would have these stone settings, and they put water in it, so they could look into the reflection, so they didn't have to stare up; they could stare down. So that's
it was ergonomic.
And that also is a total ripoff of Mark Twain and the Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, where the guy who was magically transported back to King Arthur's court, and they're going to burn him as a witch. And he's just like, oh, I have this great power. Look, the sun's going to be blocked out. I'm like, oh, wow, you do. And so then he becomes the Grand Wizard.
And so throughout popular culture and all these movies, a solar eclipse has always been this sort of magical moment where shit gone down.
And some of my favorite movies have solar eclipses in it. You know, certainly 2001: A Space Odyssey, it opens with a solar eclipse. And so you just kind of see that opening scene with that fantastic music, and it really kind of sets the tone
thus
for the whole
spoke
movie.
Zarathustra. You should probably be playing that when you watch the solar eclipse on Monday.
Should. I want to sing Total Eclipse of the Heart, but we'll get to that later.
Total Eclipse of the Sun.
Dragon Slayer, which is one of my all-time favorite dragon movie, has a solar eclipse in it. When they go to kill the dragon, the only way they can do it is during the solar eclipse.
Dragons can't be killed unless
In this movie, they needed the magic of the solar eclipse to kind of help it get along, because they had to resurrect an old wizard to come back from the dead. And what's great about that movie, too, is it has a girl pretending to be a boy. Because she didn't want to get sent off to her parents didn't want her to get. She's a princess, and the parents didn't want her to get sent off to get eaten by the dragons, because they had a lottery and they always kept her name out. And so she was like, we have got to stop this dragon. So they go to find a wizard, and the wizard couldn't make the trip and he dies. But his apprentice takes his ashes and resurrects him in the Fire of Lake. And during the solar eclipse, they destroy him.
What's the movie where somebody can only be around when the sun's shining and somebody's can only be around when the moon's shining? Oh. So they start having sex during the solar eclipse.
No, that's Lady Hawk in 1985, starring Rutger Hauer and Michelle Pfeiffer. And they're in love with each other, but the bishop hate, like, is in love with her, and so he tries to destroy their relationship by turning him at night. He turns into a wolf, Rutger Hauer, and she becomes a
Michelle
woman. Michelle Pfeiffer becomes a woman, you know, at night, but during the day she becomes a hawk, hence the title of the name Lady Hawk. And I always thought that'd be a great drag name, Lady Hawk.
That is a good name.
But eventually, you know, they're able to break the curse because of the solar eclipse, because night is day at the same time.
And day is night. Mm-hmm.
And then in the 1986 film Little Shop of Horrors, Seymour finds the plant.
Oh my God, completely.
And a total eclipse of the sun.
Yes. Shadoop. Mm-hmm. I was strolling down the... How does that song go? I was walking in the wholesale flower district that day. Shoop da-doop. And I passed by this place where there's old Chinese man. Chang da-doo. He sometimes sells me weird and exotic cuttings. Snip da-doo. Because he knows, you know, that strange plants are my hobby. Sha-la-la-la-la-da-doo. He didn't have anything unusual there that day. Nope, da-doo. So I was, you know, about to go walk on by. Good for you. When suddenly, and without warning, there was this total eclipse of the sun. It got very dark, and then there was a strange humming sound, like something from another world. Da-doo. And when the light came back, this weird plant was just sitting there. Oopsie-doo. You know, just stuck in amongst the zinnias. Audrey too. I could have sworn it hadn't been there before, but the old Chinese man sold it to me anyway for $1.95. La 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 da do. And that's how the mean green mother from outer space came to land on Earth and cause havoc. Oh. In the play, not in the movie, the original musical by Howard Ashman and Alan Menken, the mean green mother Audrey 2 wins and takes over the earth.
Yeah, he eats them all. So you see in the final scene, it's like Audrey, Mr. Mushnick, and Seymour are all part of the plant singing along. And you're just kind of like, oh, it's kind of disturbing. I'm so glad they changed the ending for the movie.
Whatever you do, don't feed the plants.
Yeah. I usually like dark endings, but for this movie, it doesn't seem to really fit. So that's a better ending. And then one of my favorite other movies that has a total solar eclipse is Dolores Claiborne. It was based on a book by Stephen King. And Kathy Bates plays Dolores Claiborne, and she goes to work for this one woman, Vera, who's a total bitch, and she can't stand her. But then Dolores discovers that her husband, who's this, like, this abusive alcoholic, has been, molesting her daughter. And so Vera is just like... You know, she says to her, sometimes you have to be a high riding bitch to survive. Sometimes being a bitch is all a woman has to hang on to. So she kind of gets Dolores to commit to killing her husband during the total solar eclipse of the sun. It's like she was this woman. She's rich. She's having this party. She's just like, Dolores, you're done for the day. Go home. Go see your husband. Here, take these. You know, basically like get it done. And so, you know, Kathy Bates eggs her husband on. And then the next thing you know, he's down on the well.
And she kills him during the solar eclipse.
During the solar eclipse.
Was there a reason why she had to happen then, or was it just serendipity?
It was just kind of serendipity, but also, too, I think I don't know if it was a specific reason. I just know that there was, like, this big party going on, and she figured, like, anything could happen during a solar eclipse. Maybe he was dark, he stumbled, he was drunk, and he fell into a well.
That's about thing about solar eclipses. Mm-hmm. Anything can happen. Mm. Dogs start chasing cats. Cats start chasing dogs. Birds start chirping that are supposed to be sleeping. Mm-hmm. And the ones that are supposed to be sleeping start getting up because the animals don't know what's going on. So if you're going to be watching the solar eclipse on Monday, try to be like in a park or someplace where there's going to be animals around, like a zoo. Mm-hmm. Might be actually a really interesting place to see like lions going, wah, wah. What's going on?
They say the temperature can drop as much as like 28 to 30 degrees. It's been recorded in some places.
So like your mother would say, bring a jacket or a sweater.
But, you know, the eclipse only lasts for 3 minutes, really. But I mean, the total part, like, you know, I mean, it'll last longer as it moves across. But
the temperature dropping in past events has been around 10 degrees. In some places, it gets pretty chilly. Mm-hmm. And and it lasts about an hour to an hour and a half. Mm. The actual full eclipse is around 5 minutes. Mm. And so definitely you have, it's not like it's going to happen like a snapshot and you're going to miss it. You have plenty of time to look around. So, you know, look at other people, look at the ground, look at your, look inside and see how you're reacting to all this.
Cause you're saying that like, there's also like going to be like the shadows on the ground are going to appear like they're moving like snakes or something, right?
So they call, scientists call this shadow bands or shadow snakes. So of course the moon is in front of the sun, creating that illusion, and it starts to bend the sun's light. And because the corona is always moving, mm-hmm. And the surface of the moon has all these rocks and edges as it's moving across the sky, it starts to create the illusion that there's snakes slithering Ooh. Around. It's quite spooky.
Oh, I can't wait.
And another thing that a lot of people might miss if they're not like looking around is the horizon. The moon's shadow travels towards you like a storm cloud, and it moves quite fast.
Oh, really?
So definitely like figure out where the sun, where the moon's shadow is coming from. So, for example, we're going to be in Carbondale, so we're going to be wanting to look west, northwestern,
sure.
to at the horizon to see the spooky shadow coming mm-hmm. at us like some monster.
We're going to be looking towards Oregon, right?
Mm-hmm. And flowers open and they close. So like, you know, flowers that open up at night mm-hmm. will open in the middle of the day and vice versa. And actually, people say that it's quite noticeable, like plants and animals and nature just reacting. So you do want to be, you know, in a forest preserve, a park mm-hmm. or some place where there's plants. There are organizing events in stadiums, but I just think that's like a waste of an opportunity to really see how the rest of nature mm-hmm. and life reacts to the solar eclipse.
It'll be interesting to see how like sunflowers, because the sunflowers actually like they follow the sun or something. They have some kind of weird mechanism. And then when the sun goes down at night, that mechanism releases and they tilt back the other way and look for the sun the next morning. So I wonder if they'll flip.
Make sure you check the weather. You know, we're going to be in Carbondale, Illinois, but we're driving to Champaign, Urbana. Unfortunately, it's a dry county.
What?
I'm just kidding.
No, so, no.
But,
They had a gay bar there. I don't know if they still do.
I want to have a glass of champagne in Champaign, Illinois. But so when you're traveling to wherever you're going to be, make sure to check the weather that morning to find if it's going to be cloudy in the area, because the worst thing that can happen is you don't get to see anything because it's going to be raining or cloudy.
Oh, yeah.
So drive to where the weather is good. Start early. So for example, if you're in the Midwest, you want to get up and running out the door by at least 8 a.m. so you can make it to wherever you're going to be by 11 a.m. So for example, for us, we're going to be, in, Springfield, Illinois, and we're going to drive about 3 hours. Champaign, mm-hmm. Illinois, and we're going to drive mm-hmm. to Carbondale, and so it'll take us about 3 hours to do so.
Yeah, and they say Monday it's going to be mostly sunny, so there'll be some clouds in the sky, but that doesn't matter.
Cross your fingers. Mm-hmm. If you want to look at the, and we urge you to look at the solar eclipse, go to your public library. A lot of public libraries are bringing in solar eclipse classes. Go to your local planetarium or science store or toy store and ask them for solar eclipse glasses that are certified to be safe mm-hmm. for your eyes to look directly at the sun.
Do not become blind.
Because you'll look like those schoolboys in Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart. It's going to fuck up your eyes.
With the glowing eyes.
Yeah. So that's Total Eclipse of the Heart is the biggest hit by Welsh singer Bonnie Tyler when the song came out in 1983. It was the fifth best-selling single of the year.
Oh, yeah. It was on the charts for like 4 weeks or something like that in the top 100, which I think was a lot for back then.
It was written by Meatloaf writers. These are writers, musicians that wrote music for Meatloaf, Jim Steinman and Rory Dodd. And Rory Dodd is the guy who sings, "Turn around, bright eyes."
Yeah, and Jim Steinman said in an interview with Playbill that he said, I was trying to come up with a love song, and I remembered I actually wrote that to be a vampire love song. Its original title was Vampires in Love, because I was working on a musical on Nosferatu, the other great vampire story. If anyone listens to the lyrics, they're really like vampire lines. It's all about the darkness, the power of darkness, and love's place in the dark. I thought the song was about like a school teacher hot for her schoolboys.
Well, that's what the music video and, you know, the ridiculous music video was directed by 80s director Russell Mulcahy, who later went on to direct MTV's Teen Wolf series, as well as the Highlander movies. Mm. And I don't know if Russell is gay or not, but I got to say, like, looking at his body of work, there's a lot of beefcake and a lot of gay sensibilities.
Well,
in there.
Sex sells, and especially, you know, like male sexuality, female sexuality, they all sell.
Well, if you look at, you know, his first video, one of his first works, Russell Mulcahy's The Buggles' Video Killed the Radio Star, mm-hmm. which was MTV's first video.
Yep.
Has the two musicians and the female pop vocalists are the ones who are sexy and mm-hmm. and looking cute and playful and weird. But all of Duran Duran's videos, like Hungry Like the Wolf, The Reflex, pretty much everything that he made with Duran Duran and Elton John, the video I'm Still Standing,
all have young, sexy men in them.
Naked men running around, you know, humping and dancing and being carefree and very gender ambiguous men. Kim Carnes' Betty Davis Eyes, Billy Joel's Pressure, Culture Club's The War Song, Def Leppard's Rock of Ages all have this nightmarish, surrealistic landscape where the rock stars are caught in hell.
Mm.
And sometimes
they have
the
to sing their way out.
They have to sing their way out.
I'm going to get out of this hell by singing a song.
And I wanted to do actually a whole show dedicated to Russell's video catalog, because it really it's quite extraordinary. You know, it's just like how every music video in the 1980s has the rock star, the celebrity stuck in some, you know, apocalypse mm-hmm. where they're trying to
it was drama and it was dramatic. And when you look at Total Eclipse of the Heart, it was filmed in an old hospital. But in our mind, we're trying to think of it as like, because you see all these school prep boys, I'm thinking of it as like a boy school, is like she's some kind of headmistress that's hot for her students. And the school is kind of like haunted or something.
Turn around, bright eyes. Dustin McLean, he was a video editor. He started the whole trend of literal videos, and he did a parody of Aha's Take on Me, where he re-recorded the lyrics to make fun of the weird Twilight Zone quality of these 80s videos. And then later, David A. Scott, a commercial video producer from New York, he's the one who made the Total Eclipse of the Heart literal video,
which is hysterical. And I guess a lot of those videos really had copyright issues. MTV, you know, or all these Sony would complain, and they'd get YouTube would yank them down, and then they pop up in another place. And I think after a while, they're just kind of like, you know what? It's parody. It's fun. Just let it be up there. And they're hysterical, because when you watch Total Eclipse of the Heart, the video, and you see the song, you know, it's a beautiful song, and it's dynamic, and it's kind of fun to watch. But then when you see just the literal version of it, the people singing a song that sounds very much like Total Eclipse of the Heart, but is describing what's happening in the video, it makes the video look even more ridiculous.
And, you know, Russell Mulcahy's video work is a pioneering in a lot of sense, because music videos used to have, if you look at, for example, Sylvester's,
Mighty I Feel Real.
Mighty Real, or mm-hmm. if you look at I Will Survive, those music videos basically is the artist standing in front of the camera,
singing, yeah.
walking around and singing. There's no plot. There's no dramatic tension.
Right. Well, MTV changed everything. You're like, how do you just can't have somebody come out here and just sing a song. You have to move. You have to have something happen.
Well, if you look at other artists of the time, especially like heavy metal rock stars, they mostly were, it was concert footage of them performing. And, you know, I'm thinking like Journey or yeah,
they're Journey. Dynamic settings, though. They have different things happening.
Well, you have the plot. Videos. You have the A plot, which is them, their concert footage, and then the B plot is usually the lead singer and his girlfriend not getting along. And at the end of the music video, they get along.
Yeah.
And then, you know, for example, I think of like Twisted Sister. With We're Not Gonna Take It, the young boy transforms into Dee Snider through the power of music and gets even with his militaristic father, who's yelling at his son, you know, you're weak and you're worthless.
Turn that music down.
Or yeah, what do you want to do with your life? And the son responds, I want to rock. And he plays the guitar. And that's really like a tribute to Russell Mulcahy's work, is this idea that the celebrity was this hero, anti-hero in the music video, where surreal, magical things were always happening. In terms of music that you want to listen to during a solar eclipse, I would say Thus Spoke Zarathustra, which is, you know, Elvis's entrance music, or the theme to 2001 Space Odyssey, or Bonnie Tyler's Total Eclipse of the Heart are two excellent song choices.
I'm going to have to start. We have to get the karaoke track to it so we can sing it. And I'm sure we'll be around people somewhere and they'll be like freaking out. Maybe we get a whole chorus going.
I'm sure people will be Total Eclipse of the Sun. How clever. So Jim Steinman and Rory Dodd, the singer who performs the male vocals, they did a lot of songs, and they were also very instrumental in creating that 80s, you know, power ballads sound. Most of Air Supply's catalog, from Making Love Out of Nothing at All to Billy Joel's An Innocent Man, and especially Meatloaf's, you know, Like a Bat Out of Hell album, and the song I'd Do Anything for Love, But I Won't Do That. Won't do that. You know what what that is?
What?
Break up with her.
Oh, is that what it is?
I think that's what he means by it.
I think he means eating pussy.
Or anal. I will do anything for love, but I won't do that. We'll just eat her pussy.
No. Let's Google that real quick, because I used to know what it meant, but then I forgot.
It's debated. So, oh, really? Yeah, I think ultimately it was decided that it was a break up with her.
Oh.
Because it was about the hard times of being on the road as a musician, and what he would be willing to do for love is betray her. And ultimately, the songwriting style kind of makes that very confusing. And Meatloaf, in countless interviews, have been like, I don't know.
I mean, it's like a response to like whatever she sang, right? Like,
yeah,
you do this,
but
you
I won't do that,
But I won't do that. Yeah. Whatever that thing is you don't like, I won't do that.
And ultimately is betray her heart. Yeah. That's how I interpret it, and that's how other people interpret the hotly debated what
Meatloaf was such a romantic.
Yeah, and really those, well, it's really Jim Sherman and Rory Dodd who created this sense, this type of song in the 80s power ballad. And certainly Total Eclipse of the Heart, in my opinion, is one of the great examples of that style.
You love it.
Well, everybody does. I mean, to this day, you know, it's like, and this Monday, we're going to be watching a solar eclipse, and we're driving across the south to Illinois, to Champaign, and then to Carbondale.
I know. I'm so excited. It's the only time in North America, probably in my lifetime, it'll happen, right?
Actually, there's another one that's going to happen, but it's going to go the other way, in the other direction across, and that'll happen like in 5 or 6 years. Oh. But this will be at the height of social media, so you can see, you can expect
our first social media one.
Everybody will have their smartphones out, and everybody's going to be videotaping, and so this will be probably one of the most documented solar eclipses or ever. So, you know, everybody will be like doing a selfie with a solar eclipse in the background.
Well, how will that even photograph with our iPhones and stuff?
Well, it's gonna, you know, it'll look weird, or it might not work at all. Or you can put your glasses, the little plastic piece on the phone. It may not work. You might have to Photoshop it, you know.
Well, we'll figure it out. We'll see. We will report back. That's definitely for sure.
The new season of Rick and Morty is underway. It's happening. Everybody's
Pickle Rick.
Pickle Rick. Look at me. I'm a pickle. And so the mad scientist, Rick Sanchez, transforms himself into a pickle to avoid dealing with the consequences of splitting up his daughter's family. And it's really, I would say, like, in terms of Rick and Morty, the show's really grown to be this really phenomenal.
And series. Susan Sarandon comes on and plays the therapist, the family therapist. So it's like, you know, big name stars coming on that show.
Yeah.
You know, it's made it.
J.J. Abrams' production company, Bad Robot, is currently developing a TV series named Queen, or at least that's a working title, based on RuPaul's life.
Early life, like in New York as a club kid and drag queen.
And Lady Bunny and a lot of La Homme Vincent and all these colorful characters in New York City are going to become the stuff of legend in J.J. Abrams' new series that's going to be on Hulu.
It's not exciting. Yeah, because it's supposed to be very much like an ensemble kind of piece, right?
It's going
to
be like Orange is the New Black with, you know, sort of like RuPaul's going to be the Piper of the series.
Mm-hmm. Nobody likes?
Exactly.
Oh, I don't believe that.
I'm just kidding, Rick.
I'm just kidding.
But the main character is surrounded by these kooky characters.
And RuPaul lived with Lady Bunny early on in New York, and there was a third room. Did Nelson live with them?
Nelson Sullivan, yeah.
Okay, and he's the one who filmed a lot of that stuff that you see of RuPaul in New York City or Lady Bunny at that time.
So I would guess that, you know.
And there was another queen that lived with them too, wasn't there?
I don't know. But so with Nelson's footage, I would argue that may be a really good cinematic technique in how to sort of make the series really entertaining and weird is this guy who lives with RuPaul and the drag queens filming himself and them and following them around. It's going to be extraordinary. I'm really excited about this, and I really look forward to watching it when they finish making it.
Yeah, on Hulu.
On Hulu.
I want to do a shout out to Taylor Swift, who won her court case.
She must be raking in the money.
Well, she got a dollar. And I guess, you know, I don't know if he just walked up to her afterwards. Here's your damn dollar.
Here's your damn dollar.
But, you know, she was getting sued by this DJ who said that she ruined his career because she said that he groped her. And she's like, he did, in fact, grope me. It's like, you know, there was people on my team witnessed it. I told my mother about it. These things happened.
And I saw the photo of the photo where he's actually groping her. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Taylor Swift is kind of making this face like, nothing's wrong. And he's got his hand on her ass and he's like,
allegedly on her ass.
Well, this is the thing, you know, because the camera shot is from the front and he has his hand where her ass would be.
Right. Well, in fact, that was even covered during the testimony. They're like, well, why is it we don't see anything? She's like, because this is the picture is from the front and my ass is in the back of my body. Like she's saying this on the, you know, in court. So kudos to her.
You know, everything that I discover about Taylor Swift, I just like her more and more. You know, it's easy to be cynical with these pop stars because they have huge media marketing and PR machines behind them, and, you know, to make them all very likable. But I really dig what Taylor Swift is doing. I think she gave like a lot of money to Kesha to basically save herself from her record contract with Sony, because Sony was forcing Kesha to produce music with this music producer who had allegedly raped her.
Yeah. Sexually assaulted her. And so, yeah. And then also too, she says that she's going to take some of her money that she's making, cause, you know, she's super, super rich, and give it to women who have been assaulted.
She's making a donation. Yeah, she's not giving donation. $1 to the charity.
No.
She's giving a lot more than that. Mm-hmm. But I think that's fantastic. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, Taylor Swift is somebody who really, values interacting with her fan base on an intimate level. Mm-hmm. And so every year, I know this is just PR, but she randomly picks fans on social media and gets a hold of them through their families and friends and hand delivers Christmas presents to them.
Aww.
Which is...
You can't buy PR like that.
Can you imagine, like, if you were a teenage girl and knock, 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 and it's Taylor Swift with a, you know, with a dress or a piece of jewelry or something? That would be, I mean,
my tampon experience would pop out.
I remember, like, as a gay teenager, I think I was like 18 or 19 years old, and I had met Eartha Kitt, and it really, you know, Eartha was kind of drunk and crazy, and she was Eartha, right? But it really, you know, influenced my life and made me the person I am today.
Drank? I don't imagine.
Well, she looked like she was drunk. She was like, hablas español, Fausto, ven acá. Vamos a hablar español, qué bueno. It pretty much sounded just like that.
I see. I have not much time for I suffer fools lightly.
What would Eartha Kitt say about Trump today? Oh, Jesus fucking Christ.
I don't even know where to begin.
The president who is saying there's many sides to, you know, Nazis. And there's some good people marching alongside Nazis in this country. And a Republican, you know, to the credit of the Republican Party, a lot of Republicans are just basically, you know, they're going up to the edge and saying we should kick this guy out like tomorrow. But they're not quite ready to do that yet.
But, you know, it really needs to groundswell from the people to really just contact your senators, your congresspeople and be like, you need to get this guy out because, you know, he has emboldened these idiots. You know, when we talked about this last election, I thought for sure Hillary would win. You know, I was hoping she'd win and that like a lot of these alt-right people would kind of just scurry back underground and having somebody like Donald Trump cheering them on, and that's basically what he's doing, has emboldened them. So, you know, at least in part of this, I'm glad that we are having this discussion about these Civil War monuments and having them taken down, and I'm glad to see people going out there and doing civil disobedience and just absolutely just tearing these things down.
They're literally like, you know, what the statue of Saddam Hussein was supposed to be, which is the people, you know, revolting and bring it down, but it really was just a military exercise, you know, and it was edited to make look like the people actually toppled Saddam Hussein's statue. These are actually people like, and I don't like toppling a statue is a hard thing to do. You know, those things are meant to stay there. So,
well, I saw the one that they did and they pulled it down. You could see, you know, because the statues, they're not solid metal.
Yeah, they're hollow.
They're hollow on the inside, so you see the legs really crumble, but then it comes to the ground, and then people come over and start kicking it. I'm like, that's got to hurt.
Yeah. You know? The company that produces tiki torches says, we are not involved with Nazis. We think Nazis are disgusting.
These are for your backyard barbecues. These are for having a good time. Like, don't do this kind of thing.
Because we still have a couple of weeks left of summer, and I imagine people who are buying tiki torches for their backyard parties, there's now like, look, you know, the guy at Home Depot is giving them nasty looks. Like, you racist monster. And you're like, I just want to have a cookout with my friends.
And people are putting up gorilla signs on in different stores and stuff on the tiki torches saying, like, this is not, don't buy this, you racist assholes. These are for people to enjoy themselves and have a good time.
The expression, there are many sides to something, is now pretty much dead. Mark and I, you know, we've suffered at the hands of a lot of people who've been saying some nasty shit about us through the years on the internet. And some people in our community, instead of defending us as victims of being targeted, they were just like, well, there's many sides to this.
There's two sides to every story. So I'll just have to, you know, whatever. Like, this person is a complete
monster.
That's that side of the story. And my side of the story is like, hey, maybe I did do something, you know, wasn't right, but it was like, do I need to be lynched for it?
But no. we're literally fighting with somebody who was racist and screaming the N-word and saying all sorts of sexist, horrifying things and tying us down to all this stuff. And people were just like, you know, because some LGBT people come from families that fight a lot, so they don't want to get caught up in a fight. And so they're just like, but there are many sides to this. So I'm really glad that the expression, there's many sides to this, is now officially dead. Thank you, Donald Trump. See, it's kind of like Caitlyn Jenner, you know, it's like people
you show who you show who you are.
You show how not to behave, you know, give people the ability to be like, and I think it's really awesome. And I'm very impressed that Americans are standing up to racists, to bigots. And I think ultimately, in the long run, we're going to be a better country for it. But right now, if we don't get rid of Trump in the next, you know, coming month or two, it's going to be a very difficult coming years. Because everybody in Trump's business team is resigning.
And part of it is when you look at everybody who he's appointed in his cabinet is all people that basically want to destroy their cabinets. And so much of their idea of what the government should be is destroying it. And a lot of these alt-right people, they absolutely hate the federal government. And so they're glad to see somebody that is so chaotic in there.
Not all Republicans, I want to remind people, not all Republicans are Nazis, but Republicans are number one with Nazis. The favorite political party of choice in the United States with Nazis is Republican Party.
But, you know, the people that follow him, they're just not going to see any of that. They really kind of view that these anti-fascists in the alt, what he calls the alt-left now, which is a joke of a term, is that they're some kind of on equal terms, as though that these people are somehow as bad as white supremacists. Like, no, they're fighting against these white supremacists. They're fighting for equality. They're fighting, you know, for health care. They're fighting for all of these good things.
Yeah, basically, like the Nazis are being like, let's exterminate and eradicate blood and soil is their mm-hmm. catchphrase, right? What other people are saying who are protesting them are saying, we want everybody to have equality. Mm-hmm. We want everybody to have health care and education and you know, a better life. Mm-hmm. We want everybody to have jobs.
And I was listening to a report on the news, and they were talking about because you know the government wants to, like DreamHost and other places to.
You mean GoDaddy?
GoDaddy and DreamHost is one of the companies that mm-hmm. a hosting company that they want to find information from, like who's visiting these sites, and they reckon by who's visited these sites that they can figure out that there's probably about, you know, about 2 million people in this country that are white nationalist Nazis. You know, and out of what are we, 300 million? It's a small percentage, but, you know, 2 million people is still a lot of people.
This is just so depressing and stuff. Let's talk about, you know, fights that are hilarious, like a snowboarder dressed up as Chewbacca mm-hmm. in Australia beating up a ski resort worker because a ski resort worker is like, no costumes are mm-hmm. allowed.
And he like he like knocked some of his teeth out too, or something.
He got
right?
mad. He was like, rawr, rawr, you know. So the guy dressed up as Chewbacca took a snowboard and mm-hmm. went up to the guy and smacked him in the face with it, knocking out a bunch of his teeth.
Well, good thing he didn't use a blaster on him. That's Chewbacca's weapon of choice is a blaster, right?
It's a crossbow blaster. I'm not sure how that works, but. You know, so
but
now
you know, I would imagine like skiing in a Chewbacca outfit would be really warm, though.
Well, that's the idea, is it would be cozy. Mm.
But then again, too, is like, you know, you shouldn't wear costumes and things like that when because it can be dangerous because you don't see where you're going or what you're doing. So it can impair your vision. People die skiing all the time. So it makes sense. You know what happened to like Sonny Bono? He died skiing.
Natasha yeah, you want to be able to see those Chewbacca masks. Your eyes are reset in them, you know, mm-hmm. and it's just like, but people act really rationally around Chewbacca. Like I remember we went to Star Wars exhibit mm-hmm. in Disneyland and I saw Chewbacca and I was like, fuck me, daddy.
You got horny for Chewbacca?
I got horny for Chewbacca. Mm-hmm. Yeah. He was tall and muscular
and hairy.
I was like, you know?
I'm sure the muscles were padded into that outfit.
But, you know, whoever was playing Chewbacca, I was like,
tall, skinny guy in there.
Yeah, he's like, sir, please get your hands off me. I'm only paid minimum wage to stand here. So you know those companies that like create sex dolls, right?
Oh, sure.
Yeah. So, you know, they're with hilarious.
And some of them are getting really expensive now, like they're in like the $4,000 or $5,000 range, right?
And so they're always looking ways to make money. And I guess some people are really sad that their wives, rich men who are mm-hmm. sad that their wives have passed on. And so one company called True Companion is behind the world's first sex robot is looking to create a sex robot that looks like the partner's spouse.
Creepy.
So I was thinking, I was like, would I want like a sex robot that looked like Mark? I would just be so heartbroken, you know, because I know it's not you.
Oh,
you know, I'd be so sad. I'd be like, you're not really Mark.
Maybe if you wished hard enough, it would come to life.
Like Pinocchio. It's not just his nose that grows.
Mm. No, that's really, really freaky. That would be a really creepy. Because I mean, how could you have sex with like a sex doll that's of somebody that's dead?
You know, Davio Falavio, the video blogger, right?
Yeah, we had on the podcast before. Yeah.
He bought himself a sex doll.
No, it was given to him.
Given to him?
Yes, because he has very popular videos. And so when you have very popular videos, people give you stuff.
Are you okay?
Yeah. And so he got you know, they
you got so excited thinking about a sex,
you know, and the thing is, as weird as they sent him one, and it was a girl, and he's just like, I'm a gay guy. Why do I have this, you know?
I think it was brilliant marketing. Mm-hmm. You know, the photos of David walking around the city. What, he lives in Pittsburgh, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
And he's like fucking this doll in the middle of a street is hilarious.
Well, if you find Davio Filavio sexy, you'll probably find the sex doll sexy. Because, you know, he has a little bit of a sex doll kind of look to him.
He has a very robotic quality. Yes. To him. Yes. Like a mime.
Mm-hmm, very much so like a mime. He's a very talented performer.
But I was thinking, I was like, if I got a Mark sex doll with his, not just his nose that grows, mm-hmm, how much would you be willing to pay for a Fausto sex doll?
A Fausto sex, how much can I sell it on eBay for?
No, well, what would you pay for, like, a sex doll of your spouse? It
depends on what the resale is.
I can't wait to get rid of this shit. I don't know why the real one, much less the robotic one.
$7,939.
You're almost close there. So the fully customizable bot is for sale for $10,000.
Okay.
And it's so lifelike, right, that she can even orgasm.
Oh, really?
And the male version. Does she
squirt all over the place when that happens?
What I happens? Don't know what happens, but.
And they have a male version?
Yeah, named Rocky. Mm. And I guess they take a photo, they sculpt. I don't think that's actually really cheap. I think to sculpt a face,
yeah, but I don't
out of
know.
A picture, but he's not going to look anything like your ex.
He'll look just, he'll look similar in some ways, but also he'll just look like a fake silicone sex doll. And you'll be like, this is gross and creepy.
Or, you know, you could order one while I'm still alive, and now you have two husbands to take care of.
I can compare. When he's not available, the other one might be.
I have a headache, Mark. Have sex with the robot instead.
Come on, robot doll. We're having a three-way.
This is what's going to happen in the future. You know, those sex dolls are eventually going to cross the uncanny valley, mm-hmm, and they're going to be
I've been watching realistic. Westworld.
Westworld, right?
Yeah, I've been watching it.
And you could be like, married to Pavel Novotny, or that hunk from, what is it, the American Camp series. What is it called?
I forget what his name is.
Suddenly Last Summer or something.
Wet Hot American Summer.
Yes.
10 years later.
10 years later.
The Australian guy.
Yeah.
I forget all those. He's sexy.
Yeah. Some Gil Gadot could be your wife. Wonder Woman. You could have Chris Evans. You could, if you're really rich,
what about real
you
love?
Could have like Westworld of all of Hollywood's, mm-hmm, biggest hunks. And you just be like, get fucked all the time. It would be like a gay bathhouse where everybody wants to have sex with you, and they all look amazing, and you look
like a holodeck on Star Trek.
It would be. You wouldn't get anything done, I think.
You'd get addicted to it, like Berkeley,
Barkley, Lieutenant, yes. Barkley.
Yes, he was addicted to the holodeck program.
But he was so tame, you know, like, that's the problem with Star Trek and like, mm-hmm, any kind of addictions that they ever had in the future in sci-fi shows. The lamest person gets, mm-hmm, addicted to stuff.
Yeah.
It's not like, woo, we're going to do cocaine off the penis.
It's
not
like you have like, what is it, Deanna Troi being like, so I see you spent another night at the intergalactic bathhouse and you were chained up for 20 hours and now you're bleeding from every orifice. And I was wondering, is this really how, you know, like, that's going to happen?
Well, and I don't know if you guys heard this with our very energetic guest yesterday, Jewel Tice Williams, the grand dame of Los Angeles gay disco nightlife. Mm-hmm. She's a mature woman, and she was a little bit low energy at the beginning of the interview, so I had to spend a lot of time editing it to make it sound a little bit more exciting. But in the middle of the interview, or towards the middle to the end, we start talking about the celebrities that came in the club, and we started talking about Rick James. And I guess she was talking about freebasing cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was like, well, that reminds me of Rick James. And I just, the thought of her like getting all rowdy with Rick James really made me crack me up. I'm not sure if I was able to edit out me laughing in the background a little bit.
Well, it was kind of outrageous because you don't really talk to many 78-year-olds who, you know, used to do freebase.
hard drugs with celebrities.
And you know, when you run a disco for 40 years, it's like you at some point in time, if you have an addictive personality, you're going to have to stop doing drugs, because you wouldn't be able to survive 40 years running a disco, partying all the time.
I imagine Rick James comes to her disco and he's like, I'm Rick James, bitch. and he does. Rick James did whatever the fuck Rick James wanted to do. Mm-hmm. You know, like most of the, that's why these celebrities went to these clubs. You know, I was thinking about it. It was like Sharon Stone and Madonna and like Thelma Houston. They all hung out at her club. And part of it was like, they weren't recognized because people wouldn't expect to see them there.
Well, they might recognize them, but they're just kind of like, listen, they come here to kind of get away from this. They don't want, you know, people hounding them. They don't want photographs. They don't want anything. So,
but do you think like today in this day and age, like if a celebrity went to some underground club?
Sure. There's places celebrities go to clubs all the time. You hear in Chicago, they're seen out and about, and people just kind of, for the most part, can leave them alone. Some places they fangirl over them, but.
Remember Joan Waters,
yeah.
Our drag queen friend who she moved to Nashville, mm-hmm. right?
Memphis,
Tennessee. So Joan Waters and Lucy Stuhl for a while were part of a nightclub mm-hmm. called the Underground Lounge. What was the name of the club, Mark? Do you remember?
It was Double Door.
Double
Door, but on the basement.
In the basement. And they had this event for New Year's Eve. And
Of course, New Year's Eve may have been above ground.
And Macaulay Culkin showed up. Mm-hmm. And you think, you know, this is an underground kind of scene. This is kind of, you know, Macaulay Culkin wants a little privacy. The drag, like, Joan Waters was, like, got into almost a fist fight with a guy.
I feel like we just talked about this a couple weeks ago, but I wrote to Joan, like, what did you actually say to Macaulay Culkin? She didn't respond back.
But they got.
I don't know what happened
into each other. Like they got at each other, you know.
Well, she was drunk,
and so was he.
I don't know how he was. I don't know.
I love the how we're arguing. It's like he was pushy, and you're like, no, he wasn't. I was like, she was drunk. Well, so he wasn't.
She went up to him. She was drunk, and she said something rude to him. And I don't know what happened.
He's like, get off me, you crazy bitch.
But for her, it's like it's kind of a highlight of her life.
So getting to a fight with Macaulay,
she relives it every now and then on Facebook, but I've never really quite understood what happened.
Well, the good thing is that Joan Waters mm-hmm. and Macaulay Culkin are both, improving their lives.
Yeah, they both look better.
They look better.
Yeah, if you look on Facebook, both Joan and Macaulay look like they're doing okay. So I'm happy for them both, and maybe at some future date they can reconnect.
And make sweet, sweet love.
Aww.
Like you guys. We think of you guys as our extended family, and we thank you so much for listening to Feast of Fun, your favorite podcast in the whole world, mm-hmm. your podcast magic. Please don't let this podcast totally eclipse. become a financial supporter of Feast of Fun by going to feastoffun.com/donate. And make a one-time donation, or consider yourself becoming a member and access 13 years of amazing in-depth podcast at feastoffun.com/plus.
And don't forget to visit our store at feastoffun.com/store and get yourself a t-shirt, a mug, or a tote bag.
Once upon a time, there was no Feast of Fun shirts in my sock drawer, but that's gonna change right now. 'Cause I'm gonna shop at feastoffun.com. Open up that wallet. Spend some money.
You're trying to encourage them to buy a t-shirt, not scare them away.
Oh, baby, if my voice brings all the boys to the yard.
Well, we'll see. I'll be tracking the sales over the next couple days.
Yeah, people really want me to sing some more. Show the ducats, the dollars. Mm. American Express will do nicely, thank you. Let me loosen up your collar. You want me to talk about the t-shirts again?
Goodbye, everyone.
Bye.